You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oasis Podcast, episode 38, the 2017 awards, and live in Reading. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. This is episode 38 and it's our first episode of 2018. So happy new year, everybody. And let's all stay young in 2018. So we've got a really good episode for you today. I would say that though, wouldn't I? What we're going to go with is we're mopping up the last couple of bits from the end of last year. So I went over to see Oasis play, OAS-IS, the best tribute band in the UK, in my humble opinion. And and it was a really good show. And afterwards, I had a sit down in the backstage area and had a chat with the guys from the band. And I played a little bit of that a couple of weeks ago when we did the discussion about It's Good to Be Free. But the rest of it hasn't gone out yet. So let's put that out to you guys so you can have a listen to that. And make sure you're checking out those guys. If they come to your area, make sure you don't miss them because they are fantastic. Also that night, I put it out there to the listeners. Does anyone want to come along? And Richard Bose, who is at a Ricky B 123, answered the call, and he popped over with me as well and a couple of other people. So on the train back, I had a chat with Richard and we sort of pressed record. And so I'll drop that out to you guys as well. That's a bit of a fun discussion about a few different areas around Britpop and how he got into music and stuff. So that's good fun. So give that a listen. But as we always do, we're going to talk about the news. I had actually recorded this whole segment a couple of days ago. I was pretty much ready to release it. And then, on Twitter a couple of nights ago, I sort of everything changed. So last episode, I was talking about the Christmas truce, the fact that by the sounds of it, Noel and Liam, there'd been contact and they'd agreed to be nice to each other. And it all sounded pretty good and sounded pretty positive, and we were all very happy about that. And then a couple of nights ago, Liam just started tweeting some pretty brutal stuff at Noel, and we were sort of thinking, well, where the hell is this coming from? And then actually what it looks like has happened is he's read an article assuming there was new quotes from Noel having a go at people not writing their own songs. And in this article, Noel has attacked Liam, but he's also mentioned Richard Ashcroft as well, strangely. And then Liam's seen that and he's assumed it's new, as in post-truce, and started having a go at Noel. So he said, "Dig me out all day long, our kid, but Richard Ashcroft pisses all over you and the two Ronnies every day of the week, as you were, LG. When was the last time you and your purists had a hit? You and the Purple Rinse Brigade parked the bus. Boring, boring, boring." And we were sort of wondering where this had come from. But I looked into it and I think I figured it out, which basically There's an Oasis fan page called Oasis Mania that are on Twitter and on Facebook. I've had a couple of run-ins with them in the past because what they tend to do is just steal other people's content. So there's other Oasis pages out there like Mainly Oasis and My Oasis World and a few others that put out really good content. And what they do is they just copy it and then post it out as their own. Pretending that they did it, which is just really out of order. And I called them out on it, and then they blocked me, which was great. So, yeah, so I would encourage anyone that's on Twitter or Facebook, please don't follow Oasis Mania. Follow the other Oasis fan pages that behave properly. So, yeah, because Oasis Mania are just not that. Oasis Mania had posted this quote of Noel sort of slagging off songwriters, and it made it look like it was something Noel had said today because they quoted an article it had been put out in. But the article, yes, it was a new article, but it was quoting an interview that had been done back before Noel's album came out. So it was at least almost 2 months old. But yeah, I believe that Liam's then read that and assumed it was new, and that's why he's suddenly gone on this rant. So it may well be that the truce has now been broken and it's the fault of Oasis Mania. So well done, lads. So anyway, the whole thing ended with Liam tweeting, "Bottom line is our kid's devastated. I don't need him anymore. Free as a bird, as you were, LG." So, yeah, I mean, it's nice for Liam that he is feeling so happy and confident and stuff, but it is still a real shame that apparently he's this truce lasted, 10 days or something, but there you go. In other news, we've had Liam tearing it up in Australia. So he's been playing a series of shows in Australia and it's been going down really, really well, apparently. And as you might expect, Michael Hart, the former Oasis podcast guest, managed to get to a couple of them and he has dropped in his review. So here we are.
Hi again from Sydney, where Liam has just finished his first solo headlining show in Australia. It was hot, sweaty, as you'd expect for Sydney in January. About 4,000 people, something like that, absolutely just going off and going crazy, especially just opening with, walking out to Fucking in the Bushes and then straight into Rock and Roll Star and Morning Glory. Like, that was the gig, really. Like, you could have just walked off then and everyone would have walked out happy, I think, but I think the solo stuff fit really well with all the Oasis tunes. I think I like For What It's Worth and Paper Crown were quite good. Come Back to Me had a bit of a groove to it, which was cool. The Oasis songs, I was really happy to hear Rocking Chair and Slide Away. Even if I don't think they instrumentally were as amazing as probably Oasis versions have been. Hearing Be Here Now played was, I'm 20 years too late on that, but it was absolutely fucking amazing. And I think that his backing band did a really great job on that. Yeah, it really got people going. But, I mean, the things that really got people going more were things like Some Might Say and Live Forever and Wonderwall, of course. It was like, it was almost like the house lights are off. Everyone had their phone out for that one. Wasn't that hot of a day, really, for Sydney in summer. It was like 24, 25 degrees, but he was still rocking a parka, which is quite admirable. I think most people would have collapsed from just being sweating it out. But no, all in all, it was a really great gig. I had pretty low expectations, truth be told, beforehand. But no, I think he did a brilliant job, and I think that, I don't know, he's on a bit of a roll, really, which is, it's a pretty amazing comeback considering last time he was here with BDI 4 years ago. They were playing at a smaller venue, like 1800, something like that. And it was very empty to the point where I think they were probably letting people in for free just to fill it out. He was meant to play there this time and they moved it because the demand was so high. I guess it's partly to do with the fact that the Vith Ashes test is also on across the road from where the gig was on at. But let's not talk about the cricket, hey? England? Hey?
What? Are you today?
3-0 so far. But yeah, no, I think it was an amazing show. And I hope that he comes back soon. I think it would be amazing to see him again. It also kind of made me rethink maybe my thoughts about, do I want Oasis to get back together? I kind of miss Noel's backing vocals more than anything else, especially on things like Slide Away. Anyway, it was a great gig, and as you were. See ya.
Another interesting point was that we've now got the end of year chart results for the UK charts. I don't know about the rest of the world. Obviously, I don't really matter. It's all about the UK, isn't it? And fantastic results for both Liam and Noel's albums. As You Were ended up 9th on the official album chart, which was based on sales and streaming. And then when you just base it purely on album sales, it was 7th, which is phenomenally a great performance when you think that that could have absolutely bombed. But, you know, what an unbelievable result that is. And then Noel slightly behind. Noel ended up 19th on the combined streaming and sales and 14th on the pure sales. So that's great. And Oasis Time Flies as well, the best of, ended up as 19th biggest artist album of 2017 based on sales and streaming, and the 11th most streamed album of 2017, which is incredible if you think about it. A band that split up almost 10 years ago that don't get the plaudits, don't get heralded like people like the Beatles, but yet, you know, there they are still, you know, people are going on Spotify and they are listening to Oasis, which is absolutely fantastic. And it looks like, as well as the two solo shows he's already announced, it looks like Liam's going to be doing quite a bit more in the summer. He has been confirmed for the Isle of Wight Festival, which is fantastic, and he's also been rumoured to be doing Kendall Calling as well. Some website has sort of leaked it that he's going to be doing. It hasn't been officially confirmed yet, but it sounds pretty likely. Hopefully he'll be announcing more dates soon, and it looks like we'll all have a good chance to catch Liam in the summer. Just also to let you know that George Lewis has been in touch. So he is at georgebot5000. George, you may know of him. He's a comedian and a TV presenter. He presents Top Gear, Extra Gear, and he's a massive Oasis fan. And he is going to be doing Oasis on Celebrity Mastermind. It's going to be on next Saturday, which is the 13th of January. So if you're listening in the present and not in the future, then make sure you check that out. Next Saturday, the 13th on BBC. And he's going to be doing Oasis. And if one of you clever people can make that onto YouTube for all our non-UK people, I think that would be probably greatly appreciated. So yeah, good luck to George, and let everyone play along and see how well you do.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so let's get into the Oasis Podcast Awards 2017. So thank you everyone that's got involved and has got in touch and has given me your awards. I also opened it up and just asked individual questions as well, and thank you guys who all commented on those. But the only ones I'm counting for the awards are people actually filled out the whole thing and got back in touch, because you've shown dedication and not just replying to a tweet. So let's go through them then. So I did it last week. I gave you my choices, but as I said, it's not up to me. This is a community of fans, and so it's down to what you guys think. So the best album of the year, we had a load of different entries here. We got shouts for Ride Weather Diaries, Beck Colours, Courtney Barrett and Kurt Vile, Prophets of Rage, and also Katie Georgiou picked out You Built the Moon, which was the hybrid I put together of Who Built the Moon and As You Were. So thank you for that, Katie. Everything only got one vote, really, except for Who Built the Moon, which got 22% of the votes, and As You Were, which then got 50% of the votes. So As You Were takes it as best album of the year.
This man took all the words out of my mouth and that, and my life, and that. Interesting, man. Interesting. A lot of people got a lot to say these days, and obviously I have, but I haven't tonight because I've drank a little bit too much champagne. But table number 18, that's where it's fucking at. And as Stormzy said before, you got a selfie with Ronan McKeaton. I got an handshake off him. But I want to say, Anthony Joshua, the fucking main man. I have to big up to him. I can't get big up here, man, knowing that he's over there. But I said to him before, I said, I hope you smash everyone to smithereens. Smither fucking reens. What the fuck's that about, man? Do you know what I mean? I got to go, man. Listen, nice one for the award. Take care.
So in terms of track, there was loads of different options came up, but the top three ended up being in joint third place was Wall of Glass and Greedy Soul with 11% each. In joint second place was Come Back to Me and Dead in the Water with 16%. And the winner was For What It's Worth, 22%. So well done to Liam. That's two for him.
I'd like to thank all the people.
All the people, so many people, and they walk up ending hands through their shite life.
Best gig. Once again, this was really split out because I suppose people have seen Noel and Liam at various different places, plus also a few other people got a shout. So we had shouts for One Love Manchester, Liam in Birmingham, Kings of Leon at Hyde Park, Oasis in Reading, Paul McCartney at Sydney Superdome, Liam at Manchester Arena, Liam at Manchester Ritz, Liam at Olympia, Liam at Ali Pally, Liam at Glastonbury, and the Gorillaz in Birmingham. That was me. The only ones that got more than one vote was Liam at the Manchester Ritz, which got 12%, Liam at Olympia got 12%, and the One Love Manchester got 25%, so that was the winner there.
Manchester fans in the area! Rock and roll star!
In terms of best TV appearance, there was loads of different shouts here. We've got One Love Manchester, we've got the Liam BBC Tour Doc, Remakes the Cup of Tea. We've got Brad Pitt as the weatherman on the Jim Jefferies show. I don't know about that. Noel on The One Show, Noel on Jules Holland with The Scissors, Liam's Noisy Thing, Liam on Later, Liam on Gogglebox, Liam on Graham Norton, and Liam on BBC Music Live. So in third place was the Liam BBC Tour Doc, that got 12%. In second place was the One Love Manchester, that got 18%. And then the winner was Noel on Jules Holland with Charlotte's debut on The Scissors, which got 25%.
Can I just point out, when he shit the bed, I wasn't in it with him. Because that would be weird. I'm glad he said that. Welcome to the Tory Party Conference, by the way. Yeah, brilliant. I'd imagine that's what is this what it's like at the Tory Party? It's nice to see the Foreign Secretary here when there's shit going on over the world he should be sorting out. Good for you. But I'd like to thank Dylan and Lennon and McCartney and Townsend and Morrissey and Marr and all those other people that I've been robbing for the last 20 years. Thank you very much. I'd also like to dedicate this award to my beautiful wife, who's badgered me to come into this award for twice now and said, George Clooney's going to be there, George Clooney's going to be there, I'm going to fucking lick his face. And this is the second time we've been, and he's not here, and he's not here, and we'll never come again. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Best guest, we had loads of different options come up again, which is really good to see. We had people shouting out Nick Ingman, Mark Feltham, Brian Fallon, but the top ones were in joint third place. We've got Brian Garcia, Simon Mason and Jess Greenfield, all got 8%. And in joint second place, we've got Tony McCarroll and Katie Georgiou, both got 12%. And the winner with 33%, so by quite a distance, was Brandon Arendt. So it turns out, guys, if you want to win an award for being a best guest, then you've got to get cancer, I'm afraid. That's what you've got
to
do.
And I'm pleased to say that we have got this message from Brandon. So, Brandon, over to you.
Hello, this is Brandon Arendt of the band Delta in Los Angeles and Oasis podcast guest number 31. Hey, we are here today at this historic Corcoran Audio Boom Theater, which is hosting the awards ceremony for the 2017 Oasis Podcast Awards. And I've just been notified that after counting all the fans and listener votes, I have won Best Podcast Guest, and I am truly, truly thankful. There have been so many great guests and even a member of Oasis, so thank you, Tony, for stepping down. Now, really, this is the only way to win an award, you know, the people's voice, and it is exceptional. I mean, this is the first award I've ever won outside of the third grade when I won Best Actor as Thor, the God of Thunder, my third grade school play. It was well deserved because that was amazing. I want to say thank you to my mom for giving me that 60s rebel spirit. Thank you to my dad for teaching me how to tell a story. And to paint it with the rudest language and still make it good. You know, some artists work with pastels, while others dabble in watercolors, and mine is the artistry of the offensive vernacular. And thank you to my beautiful wife, who held me together during and since my illness, testicular cancer. I just have to say, what an amazing 2 months this has been, this journey. I mean, James at the podcast, and I never would have imagined the impact that our conversation about our love of music, Oasis, and what seemed a tragic life story would actually spur a captivating, positive, and uplifting engagement with so many listeners. It boggles my mind just to think on how many levels, you know, heads have been turned to awareness, hope, and giving to your common brother and sister, and even, you know, a few of those cousins that nobody ever wants to talk to when the holiday get-togethers come along. In 2 months, thanks to all of the love and support from all of you amazing legends out there, we have raised over $3,000. That's a quarter of the goal, and that's only in 2 months. That's also a lot of money. You know, it is true what they say. It takes an army. You know, I've been talking with people from over 20 countries around the world, hearing their stories and hearing how much everyone is believing in this endeavor. It's very humbling. You know, I think they have put a picture of me next to the word gratitude now in the Webster's Dictionary. For some reason, it's also next to the word smelly kid, which I don't understand. I literally wash my hands like 2 to 3 times a month. You know, it's a shame that the Gallaghers, the brothers Gallagher that is, would probably not get a chance to learn about how much their influence has created such a tremendous, important little charity here. But the point is, they don't need to. You know, because of them, herein lies the true proof of the power of music and how it brings us all together, you know. Into a community of our own, it makes us feel better. It makes us want to be better to each other. All the great bands do that. The Beatles, U2, Marilyn Manson. My band Delta and I have begun work on the record, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to knock my socks off, and I hope everyone else is out there as well. You know, if any of you out there haven't had a chance to look at the story and donate to support it, please do. It's going to be great to raise his money with the Livestrong Foundation and make this record along with the awareness campaign coming with it. And to use the best thing out there to make it mean something. You know, when someone sick with testicular cancer or someone is worried about preventing it says, I don't know where to turn to find things out. Or I need something to help me hold on, to help me cope. Here's some damn good music. I'd like to say thank you to James at the Oasis Podcast and for everyone to stay tuned and keep on listening in 2018, where I'm sure we're going to have some amazing new interviews and experience into the world of Oasis. And long may it continue. Peace out.
And let's go to Villain of the Year, so we end with Hero. So we got loads of shout-outs once again for Villain of the Year. Liam's Hashimoto disease, which is apparently, I didn't know this, but it's apparently what's given Liam all those problems with his voice. Ian Mullaney, who gave Noel's album the one-star review. Ticket Scalpers or Ticket Agencies got a shout. Bone had got a shout, I'm not sure why. And David Holmes as well. But in third place was, joint third place was Warner Brothers PR people, which was the one I voted for. A couple of others picked those as well, 12%. Obviously for not letting Liam come on the podcast. And also Liam got 12%. I think that was really mainly from American guys who didn't get to the gigs because Liam cancelled them. And then we have in second place, we have Donald Trump on 16%, which was a good choice. And then in first place, which was quite interesting, is Noel. So Noel is your Villain of the Year with 33% of the votes. No comment.
I'd like to start by saying to all the people up there who bothered to buy a ticket or a CD, more importantly, a T-shirt, because that's what fucking counts as the merchandise. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All the people down here who ever cited me as an influence, you are fucking welcome. You are welcome. I'd like to thank Johnny, who was the first person outside of Oasis ever to show any interest in what we were doing, which has always stayed with me. And I'd also like to thank the enemy for still giving a shit after 20 years. Thank you very much.
On to Hero. Grandpa Batman voted for himself because he's Batman, and obviously Batman's the hero. In joint third place, we had Charlotte, the scissor player, Bonehead, and Debbie Gwyther, all on 10%. In second place was me, quite embarrassingly, on 20%. So thank you very much for everyone who nominated me for doing the podcast. I wasn't going to include that, but I thought, sod it, I will. That's fine. And the winner was Liam, who got 45% of the votes. So yeah, obviously he was the man this year. He was the comeback king.
Listen, kids. I want to thank Bonehead, Quiggs, Alan White. The best fans in the world. Live forever.
So that was great. So thank you everyone that voted. The winners get nothing other than our undying love and respect. And here's to a great 2018. So let's go over to the interviews that we did in Reading. First, it's going to be me backstage with the Oasis guys, and then it will be me on the train home with Richard Bowes. And then I'll come back again to tidy up the podcast at the end. So after this brief musical interlude, it's me with Oasis. So I'm here backstage with Oasis. So this is the closest I'm going to get to meeting Oasis, other than Tony, obviously. But how are we doing? So we've got Liam, Aaron. How you doing, man?
Very well, thank you.
So those guys that, if you're regulars, you would have heard me talking to you on the As You Were reaction, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems a lifetime away now.
So this is weird because I was just watching you 20 minutes ago and you're like, all right, doing your full on Liam.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're like, all right, my lover, I'm from
Somerset. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I try my best at a kind of Somerset twinged mank accent.
Yeah. Cool. And then we've got Noel here. What's your real name, mate?
I'm Stuart.
Hello, Stuart. How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Good down the back and hanging, mate. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, I've been really suffering with a cold all week, so I've been shitting myself over that all week. Like, especially when you put up the tweet yesterday about, oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Noel can do. It's like, great, brilliant. So yeah, cheers.
Well, that's
man.
That's Noel Wares, who's he's a good mate of mine. So yeah, so he's just like I think about the second or third most followers for a Noel based thing, other than Noel, obviously.
Yeah, I've looked a few clothes on there recently. I think
Noel Wares, the legend.
Jackets
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, but what do you think? And who else we got? We've got this very handsome version of Bonehead.
Gem.
Are you going for Gem?
Go for Gem.
See, Gem's when you cooler. See, if you watch like the Beatles, the bootleg Beatles, they have that thing where they do like the early Beatles, then they go off and they come back on again. It's like, whereas you guys, like, we're not going to like get like a Tony McCarroll. And then get him off, and then get an Alan, and then get him off, and then, you know.
Do you know, as you guys are here, we did contemplate a costume change, hence you can see to your left the Penfield, the main road Penfield. But we just didn't have time, it was a bit rushed tonight, so
was it?
We couldn't even put our in-ears in, so all our ears are ringing at the moment. Yeah. Never mind. It's all good,
so
though.
Do you normally have in-ears, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, we were a bit rushed, because bless them, the Resurrection guys, the Stone Roses tribute, come from Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah, so we got here early, we were set up before they even got here, to be fair. But they had the sound check first, so... Yeah, so it was a little bit rushing there, wasn't it? Literally, I think we got on the stage.
Sometimes that's always the best gigs, isn't it, when you're rushing around. So you just get on stage, just go for it. Yeah. It's fine.
But that was the thing. When it first started off, like, because it literally started at 7:30, which is so early.
It is
that's
early,
ridiculous.
Yeah, they've got a curfew for a disco at 10:30.
The disco is far more important than the bands.
Oh, of course, so, absolutely. Yeah. Although the fact that, like, all the geezers out there are, like, clearly here for the bands. But as we came in, like, there was a geezer who were like, oh, when's Oasis on? And it was like, oh, 7:30. He's like, are you serious? What? Like, they couldn't believe it. They were like, they should be the lead band, like, not supporting.
People say
it's
that.
It's their gig. That's the problem. It's their gig.
So they've booked it.
They've booked it.
It's for a promoter. They've booked it. Yeah. Okay. And we did some dates with them last year. We're doing some dates with them this year. We just so happened to go on first.
All right.
It's no big deal. Okay. On the road.
Getting
the van back to Somerset.
But no, I really enjoyed it. It was so cool. Down. And like, and I periscoped a couple of tracks. It got up to like 17 viewers at one point.
Wow, yeah, that's good. So. I thought that was probably going to be more than we had in here when we were just about to go on. Yeah, literally 10 minutes before, I was like, oh my God.
It was literally dead, wasn't it? Yeah, 10 minutes before. Yeah. And then by the end, it was like absolutely rammed. It's crazy.
We tried to put the word out, didn't we? They did on Twitter and Facebook, but it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You get a lot of people complain to you as well, so...
What do you mean complain?
Well, like, what did we have Andover the other day, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we went on it. They asked us to go on stage 8, wasn't it? 8?
Yeah,
something like that.
People didn't know, and we didn't know until we got there, and then of course a couple of people missed half a set, so
that's a pain.
Being the lovely people we are, we put on the guest list for Southampton, I think, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of
or one person, and it turned into 4. So like, hang on a minute, let's not push
so
it.
So now we're out of pocket.
Yeah. You go down there for top of no, we're not really.
And how'd you do, like, when you said as well, you said, oh, this was Little James, I thought, that's a bold choice. And then it's like,
to be
no,
fair,
it's
I
not.
Do that all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I do that, yeah. to be fair, they would have none of them would have heard it, but I do every gig tonight.
It's more of a laugh for us, really, isn't it? Because
one
knows what Little James is.
And you get the odd person that goes, you can hear a pin drop, and they're thinking, what's Little James, what's that? Or they're thinking, oh my God.
What are we
kicking
to after that? Cigarettes and alcohol.
I'm not that scripted. I don't do it in between. Just pick and choose.
Just pick and choose. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it was alright. It wasn't too bad. It was quite loud on stage, wasn't it?
It was. My ears are ringing.
Yeah.
You have the angels singing to you tonight when you go to bed.
Oh yeah, Many a time I've gone to bed like that, and you just hear the whistling in your ear. It's like, oh.
That's right. So it sounded right away, you. That was amazing.
No, it sounded great, man. It sounded really good. It was really good fun. And then, it was just so as you said, like when it first started, at like 7:30, it was like, oh, this is pretty quiet. But then by the like halfway through, it was really busy.
Oh,
and then, it's great.
Well, they'll have a good crowd now. Normally get to like 9:00, 10:00.
Everyone's
has beers on board and stuff.
Yeah,
so exactly. well up for it.
Yeah, no, it's quality.
Enjoying it, it's amazing.
So you did the classic thing, the classic Noel thing of step away for the chorus of Down the Back and Anger.
Yeah.
Although you did sing it at the end.
Yeah, we try. Like I said, we try and keep it as authentic as we can. I mean, I wouldn't mind singing it. But to be honest, that's what Noel does. So yeah, I mean, you only have to look at like Wembley, you know, and that's what you've done then, you know. Yeah, so you think, well, okay, we'll just copy that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't mind. It means I don't blow my voice out. So.
You're already blown voice.
And I did enjoy the last. What was it? Which track is it that you then went into the extra bit at the end that was from Wembley? Was that Cigarettes
Now? Yeah,
the whole lot of love. Yeah. I was like, ah, yes. And then we looked around and I was like, it's the Wembley bit.
Led Zeppelin,
we try and pick and choose though. Like there's certain things from like Wembley which we'll use, and then there's stuff from Earl's Court which we'll use as well, like just certain chords and stuff like that. Especially like Supersonic.
Yeah,
I'm just driving that guitar the whole way through. Yeah. Especially like for like the chorus, like I'm just using like the sus chords on it and stuff like that. Just a bit more airy. It just sounds great.
That's what we did when we started. It was going to be like, what we're going to go for. We're not going to go for the latter. We'll go for Earl's Court '95. Right. Just because.
We just love that era, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Mate, that is the one. Like that's the one where you've got Liam with the like with that amazing shirt on and he's just so
floor shirt.
Oh,
it's just like his voice is just so like innocent and just perfect. Like it is. It's just
snarly at the same time and then I love that. That was what we were like, well, we'll get that sound when we started out.
I can sit and watch that there and then DVD.
That's the one.
It's just amazing.
That's the one.
But you get other tributes that'll go for the last stages. Some just, I don't know, if others don't even think about it, I don't know. But
do you have, like, do you have your set that's basically, like, that is the set you always play, or do you sort of tend to mix it up? There was all first two albums, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was there anything?
We had the hour set then, so it was kind of like,
Do you know what I mean? Being there, Stand By Me, Slideway.
Songbird.
Yeah, Songbird.
We used to do Shock of the Lightning, didn't we?
Just used to go down like a lead balloon.
Really,
yeah,
lightning,
yeah, it did. But we used to love playing it.
Bring on down.
We love playing, but that's like one of our favourite tracks, just like proper rock out.
And then you finish, and it's just big ending, and it's like,
honestly, every gig.
Wonderwall.
She's electric.
So we just kept big hitters, which ironically the big hitters probably off from mostly from the first two albums, aren't they? So
of course, well that's what Oasis
very cliche, but
worse.
It's like an hour is nothing. Like to try and fill an hour, like input. I mean, you look at all the classics. You're like, right, well these have to go in, and then it's like we've got no room for anything else now.
Yeah, and then you fill it from there, don't you? So.
All right, everybody. Come on in.
Meant to be Bonehead, but actually.
Just gonna say, that Bonehead guy would be all right if he shaved his beard and wasn't playing the bass. That'd be okay.
Put some glasses on.
Yeah.
More like Will Chaplin, aren't I?
Yeah, good point, actually. And then, what was your name, mate? Sorry.
Sean.
Hello, Sean. How you doing?
Nice to meet you, buddy. Nice to meet you,
James. Yeah. So, you've just thrown what was. This highly scripted.
An hour and a half, 2 hours. We can fit more of the.
Yeah, you can make.
It's not. It's nice to play some of the a bit more obscure ones, or even like you said, some of the more kind of like punky ones. Bring It On Down, or.
Do you know what I mean? We toured it for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, Head Shrinker, we've been doing as well.
Head Shrinker,
I think we do that quite well, but again, it's just one of those things that doesn't really go down that well, does it?
Not with all the
For an hour set, you've got to plough through the big hitters, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. You know, people will want to hear Wonderwall. People shouting for Wonderwall after the first song. So chill out.
Well, like, I actually Googled the pink guitar. When you got the pink guitar, I was like, I recognise that pink guitar.
Yeah.
And I Googled it.
That was, not really a great story, but basically my local guitar shop seemed to have acquired that guitar, and these guys were like, you gotta get it, and I was just, oh, for God's sake, £1,000 worth of guitar. So I had to trade in like three of my other guitars just to get this pink guitar, and I must admit I love it. It sounds so good.
What is the guitar, sorry?
It's a pink Paisley.
Fender.
It's a Fender Telecaster. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And mainly just like I said, for that Wembley gig. You know, just got that one. It's just like, just to finish off the collection. I mean, there's probably, I don't know if there's anything else I need to really get.
Do all right.
Yeah.
Union Jack. You've got Les Paul, you know, and then Pink Paisley as well. But, and obviously they've got the EJ 200 as well.
Yeah, the acoustic.
Yeah, which we obviously will use for like when we do some other Noel tunes as well as, but obviously tonight couldn't all fit it all in. So.
No, it's just a quick one. And the Stone Age just started. So yeah. I was going to say, what about you growing up, Noel? What was your, was it like Noel, was Oasis and watching Noel your main thing? You spoke to Aaron before.
It was my brother's influence. My brother's influence.
So you're a bit younger then?
Yeah. Well, my brother used to be in the band. He used to be the bassist until we got Sean in.
Oh, okay.
So basically, like, he used to listen to Oasis 24/7, and then he bought the There and Then DVD, and then that was it. After that, I just like was completely hooked, and then I'm just obsessed with them. You know, I just absolutely love Oasis and anything to do with it. Not as big of a fan as this guy. This guy's got like a shed full of like signed stuff. Yeah,
shed.
It's a cupboard.
It's a shrine.
It's got like a shrine.
I tweeted it the other day, actually. I think
there was a few people sharing their collections. Right. It was like. It was the Oasis equivalent of like dick pics, basically. Yeah, so everyone was like showing their collections.
Yeah, got more likes than I ever had on anything.
There were some ridiculous collections out there.
I mean, we know the serious collectors. There's a Facebook page dedicated.
Yeah, Oasis collectors Facebook page.
Yeah, it's good.
I went to join it the other day, and it was like, "Are you a collector?"
Yeah.
Tell us about it. I was like, "Well, I'm not actually." And I was like, "Well, if you're talking collections, I've done interviews with like Tony McCarroll and Brian Kent. Does that count as a collection?"
Yeah, they're quite strict. I think it's Steve that does the admin on the page. But they used to get a lot of stick from people who just go on there and just slate it or not be a collector and just. So yeah. I think he's quite selective now. But yeah, you had to get someone to prove their collection the other day.
I had that. Yeah, it's like to be accepted to the page, you have to actually prove your collection. You have to say what sort of stuff you're into.
But it's boomed. Like, literally, we were talking on the way up. I joined that page probably 2008, 2009. There wasn't many on there. I posted my collection and obviously been collecting way before that and still continue. But for some reason, it's just boomed. Like, the price of stuff has just gone ridiculous now.
Really?
Yeah, like vinyls and just the really rare stuff.
Mm. Well, when I was talking to Rob Fiderman, Rob from the Britpop store, he was saying basically that, like, a lot of the collectors that would have got the Hendrix stuff and the Beatles stuff have then that kind of stuff is priced out of the market now. And so they're then looking at, like, well, what else is there? Like, could we get, you know, what about the 90s stuff? And yeah, and it's primarily Oasis, but there is other stuff. Like, there is other bands as well, but, you know, it's mainly Oasis.
I think they're probably the biggest collection interest I've ever thought from the 90s.
That's such a cult thing, isn't it?
Yeah. There's so many things out there, so a lot of quirky promos and stuff, they're just amazing.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff that was out there, wasn't there, that specifically were released.
I got lucky, I collected from 96 going up to Tower Records in London and buying the 12-inch vinyls, three for a tenner. Just started from there, but everything's just gone so. I've been lucky, well, not lucky, I just started early and it's just built up from there. So it's good to see though. I love it. I love the youngsters trying to get into Oasis and stuff like that. It's brilliant.
Yeah, what do we think about we'll open up. What do we think about As You Were and Who Built the Moon? Would literally came out today. So, what do we think?
I really like Who Built the Moon. We're talking about it earlier. Yeah. Like, it's as different as Noel will get, it's not as out there as he said it's going to be. The first, obviously, when Holy Mountain came out, I think that's a bit of a grower. It's grown on me now. We're talking about that.
It's just made for dancing.
Yeah,
like, taste. I love it.
And obviously Fort Knox, and you're thinking, well, there's not much singing in that. But yeah, I like it. We listened to it on the way to work this morning. And we haven't even listened to it on the way up today, do we? We're going to plan to, but we're just rushing.
I've got it on order, but like I've purposely not listened to it because I don't want to hear listening to you. Yeah. Though. So I purposely not listened to it because I want to stick it onto my CD player and listen to it properly.
Right.
But As You Were, I love that. It's brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely classic.
The production on Who Built the Moon is great.
Yeah.
When you listen to it, it's just, you know, he's really worked on that. David Holmes.
David Holmes, so you can
tell it's kind of film.
Yeah, it's
inspired,
isn't it?
It's
especially with the two interludes as well.
I like those though. I like those. I was having a conversation with another guy the other day. He said, "Oh, guess what, two tracks I don't like. And I was like, I don't know, because I like them all. And he said, oh, it's two interludes. And I was like, I like that. Mm. The only thing I'm just a bit disappointed is there's no bonus material other than Dead in the Water, which was which he didn't have to record. It's a great song, but it was literally it was
called a sound check.
It was a sound check from was it Ireland, wasn't it? I think it was. So
oh, there's Alan White, stroke Tony McCarroll, stroke Zach Starkey.
Yeah, Tony McCarroll.
All right, come on in.
But yeah, it's great. The production on it's really, really good. I think lyrically it's better than As You Were as well. I know we spoke about As You Were, and it was quite early days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was literally just come out. Yeah.
I still think It Doesn't Have to Be That This Way is a good song. It's probably one of the best songs.
Well, I've just built, like, so I've done it, and you guys jump on my Twitter or whatever, but like As You Built the Moon, I called it, which is basically like, okay, well, build the, if there was an Oasis 10th album or whatever, and it was the best of As You Were and Who Built the Moon, what would it be? And so I literally have gone six tracks from each, because you know, I'm not going to show my hand whether I'm Liam or Noel.
Yeah,
there's so much,
I don't like
there's
that,
so much hate online, like
stupid.
A lot of the Liam fans tend to be like the very like, it's the, like, the young girls and young girls from America or different countries that are, like, just obsessed with Liam, and like, as soon as Noel says anything, they're just all over him, and it's like, calm down, you know.
Let's just be happy that we've got two Gallaghers.
Yeah.
Just out there within a space of sort of 6 weeks,
exactly.
Bringing an album out, it's
putting out
good.
Great albums, yeah.
But do you think, like with Who Built the Moon, do you think that some of those tracks that get slated, if they were on an Oasis album, do you think they would get slated?
Well, it's like it's basically like a later Oasis album, but just like produced by David Holmes. Mm-hmm. Like, is the way I see it. So like, I mean, Oasis wouldn't have done two interludes like that. I know they did like a quick peek and fucking Rushy and stuff, but. But like the thing with that album for me, I think Who Built the Moon, it starts off great. Like it has this fantastic start. I love Fort Knox, and I love Holy Mountain, and then the was a Beautiful World and She Taught Me How to Fly. I think are both great, like good pop songs. And then you get that one, Careful What You Wish For, which is very come together.
Oh yeah,
and it goes on like 7 minutes, and it's like a bit of a slog, and it's like,
yeah. See, I quite like that. I quite like that.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Well, I'm trying to think of the song on Chasing Yesterday that goes quite slow and it gets a bit boring. But I'm trying to think which one it is now, off the top of my head.
Don't know.
But yeah, I thought that was quite different in a sense, because it's got some girls singing.
Yeah, they at the end it goes into some. That was fine, and then so I missed out on my favourite track, which is the track three, Keep on
Reaching.
I think it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Very kind of Paul Weller. I don't know if that's one that Weller plays on, actually. I haven't read the credits yet. It sounds like it would be.
Well, no,
it sounds like an early Weller track.
Johnny Marr did the harmonica, didn't he, on is it Black and White Sunshine?
It sounds like he's playing guitar on one of those sort of middling tracks.
I'm sure, yeah, because I listened to radio last night, and Noel was on it, and he said that he got Johnny Marr in the studio, and then in the end didn't even want him playing guitar, he got him playing the mouth organ.
You've got Johnny Marr there, play fucking guitar, man.
He's quite funny, because he goes
triangle. Yeah, exactly. Johnny, yeah.
He gets Johnny Marr and Paul Weller in the studio, yet they never really ask him. I think he's been in the studio with Weller, hasn't he?
He's done a few songs.
Yeah. He's like, it's quite ironic. He goes, I know I'm the lower of these three.
He's there. He's still
junior, if that's the right
which
phrase.
Because he sold more records than them put together.
Yeah, I know,
But I think, like, so the first half of the album, I think, is great. And if you think about it as a vinyl, like, the first side of the vinyl is just all killer. And then the second half, you've got the two interludes, and then you've got a couple of good tracks. But that's a funny sequenced album for me. And then, obviously, with, you know, it's with Dead in the Water, like what I said online the other day, and a couple of people commented, was like, well, to me, that having Dead in the Water on there demonstrates what I think that album is lacking, which is heart.
Yeah, that was quite,
see
raw,
what I mean?
Wasn't it? Quite,
because you listen to Dead in the Water, you go, oh, Noel can do that, you know what I mean? Noel, like, he's got the ability to make you like swoon and fucking
just
cry,
goosebumps.
You
know,
and then when
like
you
that.
Think about the rest of the album, you think, oh, the rest of the album was great. But there was nothing that touched you like Dead in the Water did.
Oh, no. Like, if I had a gun, I remember hearing that, thinking, wow, that hit me. And then, obviously, Dying of the Light, there was the sound check Dan, soundcheck version of his album for ages. Then he got criticised because it was overproduced. So he said, literally, I won't re-record Dead in the Water because people are moaning that it's overproduced and it might be overproduced and might not catch that emotion.
So he's
left it as in people are still moaning, saying, why have you not?
Yeah, well, I want it. I'd love to hear it with like strings.
Yeah,
and
strings and piano. I can hear all that. It's absolutely stunning song, but. That going back, that was my only disappointment, that was the only bonus song. So if he's not got any B-sides,
well, there's God Help Us All as well.
God help us all.
God Help Us All, so that's going to be on the Japanese version, so I've had that on email. Yeah,
but that's already been out.
But that's an Oasis song that people have heard if they're geeks, which is fine. It's just a bit like Working Class Hero for me.
Yeah.
I think the lyrics are great, but
it's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good tune, but
think about it, with the three instrumental, well, Fort Knox isn't quite instrumental, but there's only eight tracks
with
a vocal on, really.
We said today, to start with like a semi-instrumental that is so long, I was like, that's pretty bold.
Yeah.
But he's trying to create that. He's trying to make that album as a piece, isn't it? Which, I guess, like you say, some of them I would probably have put one of the interludes, the first interlude, back a song possibly. So I think there's only two songs in between. I think from memory, I don't know. I've listened to that much.
So you have interlude one, and then you have If Love Is the Law and Who Built the Moon, and then interlude
that's two, and it ends.
It's like, oh, okay.
And then just the bonus
and then
track.
If you've got the bonus tracks, then fine. But otherwise, the album, as the album as it should be, is literally like, it's very top loaded. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is, definitely. But the production is really good. And lyrically, there's some really good lyrics in there. I just can't, every time we listen to it, that's a good lyric.
Yeah.
Whereas some of Liam's has been a bit like, oh no.
No, don't do that, Liam.
Yoga. I must admit.
But you know what? That yoga line, that's not Liam, is it? Because that's Chinatown's one of the only tracks that was actually 100% written by someone else.
Okay. I haven't even read the notes, to be fair. I just remember hearing that, and I love the chorus, and I love the guitar, the soft acoustic, but it was just that first line. Cops are taking over while everyone's in yoga. Who puts yoga as a lyric in a song?
Well, for me, then he goes, and happiness is still a warm gun. You go, oh, come on.
Yeah, there's loads of Beatle, cheesy kind of Beatle references in there, isn't there, I think. But it is what it is with Liam, isn't it? He's not going to reinvent the wheel.
No.
I think Noel's matured. I think it's quite a mature album.
Yeah.
Half of you probably haven't heard it yet. We haven't had a chance, have we?
No.
No. But like I said, I just waited to.
So what, you're not Spotifying it or anything like that? Or
no,
are you waiting for CD?
I've always been in that opinion that I want something that I hold.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't like. I'm not. That I haven't. I have gone on Spotify and I have listened to other bits and pieces. But I'd like having something there. Do you know what I mean?
Just
like
the sleeve notes, don't you?
Who's
played on what and who's done what.
But I've always been like that. Always. Yeah.
Well, I was on CD, but a few years ago I was just like, I just gave up. I haven't bought a CD for years.
Really?
Yeah. That just like, when we've got Spotify, it's like, well, why would I then go back to CD? I just don't, especially with like just being able to aux in into the car or whatever. It's so easy.
There's no point changing over CDs when you've got thousands of songs on your own. Literally on your phone or on your iPod.
It makes sense, don't get me wrong, and I do it, but it's just like when you want that or when you kind of want it to like have, you know? So
it's always nice to have your favourite albums. Like, I've had all my favourite albums on vinyl just because.
I bought tons of vinyl recently.
Yeah, you've got to vinyl.
Yeah, not necessarily Oasis related, but Guns N' Roses and stuff on vinyl. Do you know what I mean? I just love having that thing there. Just put it on and then sit back and relax. You listen to it.
All right, good. All right, well, we'll call it there, gentlemen. As we do, we always finish these with an Oasis track. So.
You've got five people who've got to decide.
Come on then, what Oasis track are we going to play out with?
Christ.
Come on.
Don't look at me, I'll pick on it. I'll let you. I'm slightly less a fan.
On a B-side, wouldn't you, or something like that?
Yeah, little joke.
Well, is this just a song just to shove on? Like,
come on.
You know,
I'm
going to
end
it right now.
Should
we do... I've
got the fever.
Yeah, I've got the fever.
Go on, I got the fever, all right. We're ending with I Got the Fever. So, thank you very much to Oasis.
Thank you very much.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious.
That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, so I'm here with at RickyB123, which is a dreadful Twitter handle.
It
is,
but you remember it, though, don't you?
I do remember it. Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's
it sticks in your head.
It's better than, like, Oasis Gallagher fan LGNG1001.
Underscore.
Yeah.
So
where have we just been?
We've just been to watch Oasis at Soase 9 in Reading. Sported the Resurrection. They were pretty good, actually, Oasis. Mm. They were pretty good. Yeah, they were fulfilled the role quite well, I thought.
Yeah.
Brought out the pink guitar quite nicely as well.
It was a nice pink guitar.
It was a nice pink guitar.
I had to Google that pink guitar because I wasn't immediately aware of the pink guitar. But then, yeah, it turns out it was quite a used guitar.
Yeah, attention to detail, which you have to respect. Yeah.
I did enjoy it. Noel Wares was with us tonight, and he pointed out that, like, maybe the badge that they were wearing was slightly too large or too small. I can't remember, but, like,
I mean, that is weirdly specific, though, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, God love him. God love the detail, but that is weirdly specific. Yeah.
But no, generally, I thought that the guys did a great job. It's a really good show.
Really good.
What do you think of Resurrection? The Stone Roses.
A perfectly acceptable Stone Roses. The problem is with Stone Roses is that they're so specific, they're so talented, they're so in tune that you're never going to quite accurately represent it. So as a tribute band, that's a big ask.
Yeah,
but they did as well as one would expect.
Yeah, it's like being a Who tribute band. You just as individual players, like a while ago, I did the Britpop supergroup thing, and I just said, look, don't include Stone Roses, just because, like,
well, they're not Britpop.
They're not Britpop. thanks for that. but also, like, they're just too good.
Yeah,
like, if you include them, then other than Ian Brown, who, you know, we love him as a songwriter, but he's not the best lead vocalist.
Mm.
Like, the other three are the best, right?
Yeah, exactly. Who would you choose a better drummer than Rennie?
Tony McCarroll. Because he's been in the podcast.
God bless you, Tony, if you're listening. But apart from that, like, but as you say, who would you have
You can't. Like, yeah, I mean,
better,
like,
than Rennie.
You know, you can't. There's Danny Goffrey from Supergrasses up there, but no.
It's amazing.
No, but no, it's got to be Rennie. Like,
yeah.
And then same as Manny. Like, who can beat Manny as a bass player? No one.
Well, you're only talking really Flea, Macca, and John Entwistle.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's not relevant to
the Britpop
argument.
Thing. Yeah, if you're talking about 90s Britpop, there's no one from Britpop that was a... John Power, I think he got quite a lot of votes. But it ended up coming down to Grigsy, you know.
And God love him.
But he's not.
God love Grigsy.
You know, but God, you compare Grigsy to Manny, it's ridiculous, you know.
Manny's, it's not even comparable.
And I was talking online the other day about how I saw Primal Scream play Nottingham Rock City in, I think, 2001. And it was the Exterminator tour, and Manny was there, and Kevin Shields was there.
Nice.
He was setting off, like, samples with his guitar, and it was ridiculous. Like, Manny was incredible. We actually got a photo with Manny.
How do you feel about Alex James? He seems to be quite...
Oh,
I
love him as a bass player. I do enjoy a lot of what he does as a bass player. I just think, like, the selling cheese to Jeremy Clarkson and David Cameron. I just think that the whole Chipping Norton set thing just makes me want to punch him in his floppy head face.
We're heading to the home of Blur guitarist Alex James to get some great local flavours with a rock and roll twist. These days, he's more into cheese making than hell raising.
Come in, this is my shed. This is HQ.
What a shed.
Oh, man.
Because cheese is the tastiest thing in the universe, it's kind of been at the forefront of the gastro revolution. I always loved it. You know, they used to throw it at me in Japan on the stage. They used to throw beads at Damon, and they used to throw cheese at me because they knew that I liked it. But it comes in tins in Japan. It's kind of weird. My wife and I bought this farm on our honeymoon, and we actually moved right next door to the country's leading cheese expert.
Oh, wow.
Juliet Harbert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And decided we'd embark on a cheese-making extravaganza together.
You can see why they hated Blur.
Oh, of course.
And it was he wasn't even down to Damon, it was mainly down to Alex James, because he had that whole kind of twee thing to a point that it was massively nauseating.
Yeah, yeah. You know that bit in, you know, Star Shapes, the Blur
video they did
in the back 93? I think it's pre-Park Life, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's a bit where a festival, and like Alex James just like he's just like does a forward roll at a festival for no reason.
Superfluous forward roll.
And he's just like pissing around at the festival, does a forward roll, and then you've got Graham sat there like drinking, like just looking thoroughly depressed about everything. I mean, that was what made that band, though, right? Wasn't it? It was just like that mix of people.
Yes. Granted, I think they probably could have done without the Alex James bass lines, but. So I'm led to believe is that it was actually quite an intrinsic part of the band.
Yeah.
I don't see it, to be honest, but band's alchemy, isn't it? You know, yes, there's no calculating alchemy. It's just apparently you need a twee bastard to make yourself a half decent band.
Yeah. All right, so let's take it back, Richard. So what was the what was your Oasis year one story?
My Oasis year one. It was just hearing definitely maybe from my brother's room, really. It was just like picking up the album and just hearing it and thinking, you used to like Guns N' Roses, what? But that was crap. But now all of a sudden I can listen to this. The key moment for me was the chart race of Christmas number one, 1994. Mm. When it was Stay Another Day, whatever, and was it Whitney? It wasn't Whitney. Whitney was a couple of years previously, but there was a few horses in it. But whatever was in
was one of the options. That rings a bell.
And it was just like, how has this happened? How has a band that I actually like give a shit about been this at the forefront? And obviously they lost, but
Stay Another Day one, didn't it?
Which is a tune.
No,
it's not. But it's a Christmas staple.
And Tom,
it's no whatever.
Keane has just covered that on his Christmas album.
What, Tom from Keane?
Tom Chaplin has just done a Christmas album, including a cover of Staying Another Day. I just heard it on the radio too the other day.
I think that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? Yeah. I think it tells you all you need to know about Keane, about Christmas, about E17. But yeah, that was the moment for me. It was like, well, actually, kind of punching. And you know what? When they knocked Take That off number one, with some might say, I think it was Back for Good, which had been number one for 4 weeks. And I was at that age, I was 13, so it was like proper like taping the top 40, caring about, you know, caring what position Scatman got to. But when the knockback for good off after 4 weeks, and it was just such a
immense tune.
Oh god, just a blast of fresh air. Well, not even fresh air, because you knew what the race were about, but just a wholesome change. You know what I mean? It was like the mood just changed then.
Yeah.
It was just like pop's gone.
Yeah.
It means more now.
Yes.
And it's just, and it was such a step on from Definitely Maybe, and it was just louder and brasher. Not even necessarily better, to be honest, but just, they kicked on. The band kicked on from then. And obviously, as we know, it went from strength to strength there. But that was the moment for me. It was like, and then watching them on Top of the Box 2 weeks on the trot, and as we've seen on the Supersonic documentary, you know, you see that view of where they're all backstage and they're absolutely ruined, and Liam's in Adidas trackie and he's ruined.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you watch that video and you realise, we watched them on Top of the Pops, and you thought, oh, they're just cool. When you realise what was happening backstage, it adds so much more context to it. It's like, God, you loved it. You absolutely loved it, and that's how it should have been. That's how it was.
Great moment for the show, because Oasis is Top of the Pops.
Shit's getting real now.
Where's my monkey?
So when did you first sit? What? So when?
The fans will get that reference.
All right, very nice. When did you first see them live?
Wembley Arena, 1997. I queued up for 17 hours to get tickets for that gig.
17 hours?
17 hours.
Was that when Supergrass supported?
Yes, correct.
So was that where I was there as well?
Yeah. Yeah, Supergrass. If I'm being purely objective, Supergrass are probably better, but...
What?
Well...
Guess out.
In It For The Most, a great album.
It is a great album.
It was a great album. But I didn't like to think objectively when I was 16. Yeah, I queued for 17 hours, got there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the tickets came out at... Well, because I missed out on Nebworth. I missed out on Earls Court and Nebworth.
Why?
Because you had to get through on the phone.
Oh, you okay, you tried and failed.
Tried and just had no joy. Right, so it's like, well, the only way to get tickets is just to roll up to the venue and hope for the best.
Okay.
So we rolled... Yeah, we got to Earls Court, Wembley Arena, sorry, at... Yeah, 3-4 o'clock. We were the third and fourth in the queue.
Oh, good.
Which, you know, you might... could be conceded as good, but when the tickets came out at 8 o'clock we were about 150th 160th in the queue, because obviously it was mobbed. We saw Ugly Bloke from TFI Friday.
Oh yeah,
there's a reference for you, showing our age. That was the only way we could guarantee to get tickets. It's crazy. Like, right, just queue up outside the venue.
Listen kids, you don't know how easy
you
it is.
Fucking you. Oh the window doesn't open. Oh you're 137th in the queue. Go to the venue.
Turn up, and just wait,
and then
up.
Get rejected, and then you know what rejection feels like.
That's upsetting. Cool. Yeah. All right. So, what did you think about that tour with playing that Supergrass Wembley Arena show?
That was how big they were. Like, I mean, that was a fan. In It For The Money is a fantastic album. It's a fantastic album, but it's also like that's how big they were. They could have a second tier Britpop band, if you will, support them, and without even thinking about it, honestly. The first time I saw him, so I thought it was great, but looking back on it, they were flabby.
Okay.
They were quite flabby. But the palpable excitement of when the Be Here Now music, the Be Here Now keyboard riff came on, and he had that guy in the butler suit running around the stage, and like, and obviously he had the bar and the clock and the telephone box on the stage. Like, the palpable excitement for that was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, objectively, yeah, it was quite flabby. Like, all around the world went up for about, I think it's still going on somewhere.
It's still carrying on, yeah. Bone is still there.
Yeah, Bone is still there. Greg's still there. But, but you know, yeah, it's probably, I saw it 8 times. It's probably fourth or fifth time.
Okay.
Best time, sorry.
So, what was your favourite time seeing them then?
Wembley, 2009, I think.
2009. Oh, okay. Right near the end then.
The fag end. Yeah, the fag end.
How come? Why was that so good?
Noel always said, he was like, if we do big gigs, you'll have 2 nights that are great and have 1 night that is crap. Mm-hmm. And we were happy enough to see them on the... Well, also on the Thursday night, the sound cut out, I think.
Right.
And I think they struggled to recover from that. But on the Sunday night, he seemed to go a little bit random and play whatever acoustic... Oh. Which he hadn't done for a long, but well,
for years. Yeah,
yeah. So that was quite special. But I think something's in the air. I think if they were pet theory. I think Noel was doing. I don't know. I think Noel had his card.
He knew.
Yeah, I think he probably knew at the beginning of that tour. He was. Mm. It was going to be the end. But yeah, there was something in the air. To be honest, like it was. All things seem to fit. It was a Saturday night, I believe. Also, Kasabian had played before them, and I thought Kasabian were amazing. Mm. And I thought, ooh, Oasis might struggle to stop this. And then within about 30 seconds of Rock and Roll started coming, I was like,
Oasis had topped it.
why did I doubt them? Why did I doubt them? But yeah. I've said this on a blog, I think that tour, I think Noel probably went, I think we probably. There's a an air to this stadium rock thing,
yeah.
Or an air to this anthemic people gathering thing that we can probably do. Probably reach my limits as a stadium writer song, stadium songwriter. Sorry, I think.
Yeah,
I genuinely think that was the moment he went. Yeah,
that'll do.
Time to bow out. I think.
Well, it was like, you know, it was like, well, if they carried on. If they carried on and done another album after that, what would they have done? You know, they would have done the same thing, same tour. They probably, whatever the new album had been, would have had 2 or 3 songs on it, would have gone into the into the set list, but really would have been the same set list again and again.
Yeah.
And it would have been like putting up with Liam again. And
yeah,
I think it was probably right that they split up at that point.
I think so, yeah. I think Heathen Chemistry was the pop band. I mean, the thing is with Heathen Chemistry, we forget that. They had like two, not only did they have one number one single, they also had two number two singles.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they were a singles band, let's not forget that. But you know, it was, you know, Stock Crown was the number two single. And I speak to people now and they're like, oh, the World Cup 2002, I remember Oasis for that, because it's Rock On Your Heart Out.
Absolutely.
And also Little by Little was also number two single, and they seem to regain a little bit of
momentum,
and also kind of pop me in that. Don't Believe the Truth got the critics back on side, because like they got like nominated by Q Awards and you know, had a bit. It was a bit more interesting, and obviously Important Spring Eye was a great British song. And
number one
single, yeah, last number one single. So they seem to get it better, and then but then Dig Out Your Soul. I think I don't know. Noel Gallagher is he was a pop man at heart as well. I think when that album came out, and it was the Downloads era.
Yeah,
and the first single came out, and it was like got to number four. Hey, and a few moments time, we're arriving at Dickon Parkway. I think he kind of realised, he was like, he's out of his depth now. And again, Adam was saying about the tour, I think he just went. And also, yeah, the reviews, I mean, honestly, that's a great EP, that album.
There's some amazing, well, I've said this before, there's the songs that Noel wrote and Liam sang are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the other stuff.
if you cut the album off after Falling Down, you wouldn't lose anything, I don't think.
Yeah. Richard, I'm going to go because we're arriving at Didcot.
Right.
We're going to go on to Brizzle.
Yes.
So anyway, what's your favourite Oasis song to finish this interview with? You've got about 5 seconds to choose.
Falling Down, please.
Falling Down.
Yeah.
Regular mix or Amorphous Androgynous?
Prodigy mix. Chemical Brothers mix.
Ah!
Chemical
Brothers mix. He's just lost all his Oasis fandom. Choice. Okay. Chemical Brothers mix. Thank you very much. I hope you guys enjoyed those two interviews. That was really good fun, and we are going to do some more stuff out and about, stay tuned, and hopefully you can come along and you might even be on the podcast. A couple of other bits I just wanted to mention. I mentioned in that interview with Richard about the guy that came on stage and introduced Oasis like in a ringmaster outfit, and one of the things we've been doing on Twitter is trying to hunt him down. Apparently there's a Noel Gallagher interview where he said his name was Bear and he worked in the lighting crew. But then we've managed to dig out sort of programs from that Be Here Now tour, and there was no one called Bear. So yeah, we're trying to find him, and so far we haven't. So if you think you might be able to help find him, this feels a bit like that surprise, surprise show from the 80s now. But if you can help us track down Bear, who was the ringmaster guy, and the Be Here Now tour, then please do get in touch. So thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and of course a special thanks to our patrons: Cindy, Andrew, Simon, Remy, Jim, Richard, Amy, Mark, Dana, Mike, Fraser, David, Jeff, Davey, Jason, David, I've got how many Davids, Casey and Alex. You can also become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles by myself and Richard and Kyle, and also I'll occasionally post episodes early or extra bits and pieces there when I can. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, just at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com. Merch is available at TeePublic, and please subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young. Now just what we are, and come.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.